Have you had people DM you for the swag drop?
No, not a single one.
Cool, then we're off the hook.
No complaining from you guys.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the first episode of Human Reaction in 2025. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season. Thank you for bearing with us as our schedule got a little wild through the holiday season. You know, we do a lot of these things, especially since we switched to two a week. It was kind of nice to have a little bit of a break, but I missed you guys.
Mm-hmm. Glad, missed you too,
buddy. Glad to have us all here in full force. David Rand, Kyle Mack, Bennett back on the buttons. Please follow the show, subscribe to us on YouTube. Drop us a like if you can. And wherever you're listening to this, if it's not on YouTube, definitely please write us a review. Those mean a lot to us as we grow the show. And if you would like to support the show more directly, you have two options. One, you can become a member and get access to all of our exclusive content. Go to humanreactionpod.com to find out how. And you can join our Discord, which Kyle's going to tell you about.
Well, yeah. And coming from, actually, Joe, you picked this one out today here, is kind of relevant to everything that I think we're going to be seeing going into 2025 right now. We have this little meme here. When they keep trying to distract you with psyops, but you've learned to notice where they're coming from. And we got one cat getting distracted, yeah, look, but then the other cat is on to you.
Just look at dead zoom in.
Because I think that is probably going to be a theme with 2025, if it's not already been a theme of past years.
I mean, my gosh, we're off to a really strong start in this direction, aren't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
Especially with what we're going to be talking about today, Dave.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Starting the new year out with a bang.
Yes.
Yeah. I see multiple, what you did
there. Multiple bangs.
Yeah. A couple
bangs. For people that don't know, there was two terrorist attacks. Are we allowed to classify them as terrorist attacks?
I think the first one's definitely a terrorist attack. The second one is questionable.
It's questionable.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we'll be getting mm-hmm. into, is exactly what's going on there. And for members, don't forget to send me a DM.
Yes.
DM me.
Yes.
Get in my inbox. Yo, if you want your free swag for the year, you got to do that.
And so, we've got a great, great shirt design for you. We slaved over it for hours. It's amazing. We'll have Bennett drop a screenshot of that over the video right now so you can see it. Thanks, Bennett. Appreciate your work.
SCIF, the Secure Containment Information Facility
members.
That's right.
If you are a small business owner looking for exponential growth, you have to connect with Adam Thune at Intellectual Patriots. He will revolutionize your business game and help you get to the next level. Adam can streamline your business practices and advertising strategies to improve your bottom line. His expertise in data engineering means he can build you the systems you need to collect and analyze market data. His mission is to provide you with invaluable insights to fuel your success. From grant writing and business proposals to digital systems integrations, even AI management, Intellectual Patriots is a one-stop shop for cutting-edge solutions. Don't wait another second. Visit intelpatriots.com to learn more. That's intelpatriots.com. This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link. All right, so let's get into the show, David. What are we talking about today?
So Shamsuddin Jabbar plowed a truck through a crowd in New Orleans. 15, I just saw this morning, 14 dead. So that number's still there. 30 injured. As much as 35 in some reports, with a Ford F-150. He drove through the French Quarter, which is a very dense, narrow area. Usually the roads are all blocked off. He was able to get around a blocking. They didn't deploy the hydraulic blocks like they normally would for whatever reason.
The word that I read from the city was that they were being reconfigured or redesigned mm-hmm. or something, and then were going to be redeployed. But so they weren't out mm-hmm. at this time, which seems like a pretty high-profile time to have them, a very busy time of year, New Year's on Bourbon Street, you know, probably the second busiest day
on that street second to Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest or something like that.
You know? It's important, kind of the backdrop here too, is the kind of build up to the Sugar Bowl,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. So reports say that the truck had an ISIS flag on it. They'll seem to be confirmed. Originally, the FBI was saying, we do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible. That's from Alethea Duncan, which is funny because Alethea is one of the name of the CIA's funding groups. An assistant special agent in charge of the FBI's New Orleans. It got really confusing there when I was looking at some connections. We're aggressively running down every lead, including those of known associates. But today, there was a series of reports that came out that said he was working alone.
Yeah, that's all changed since then. So
you mentioned the ISIS flag. It was zip tied shut, like, so that you couldn't see that it was an ISIS flag very easily, the one that was attached to the truck, right? But then there were later photos that came out that looked like it was splayed out on the sidewalk and people were taking pictures of it. Like,
yeah.
Why would it be zip tied? Do we have any idea?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. It could have been done after the attack was over. So he got into a shootout with police, or he was killed. And maybe in the cleanup or in the process of doing it, they bundled it. Mm. I don't really understand exactly why they did that. So, so biography, born in 1982, he's a Texan, decade in the U.S. Army, mostly focused on HR and internet technology, IT, deployed to Afghanistan, rank of staff sergeant, reserve for 5 years. College degree at GSU, computer sciences, Blue Meadow Properties. It was the last place he worked, but before that was a cloud consulting manager at Ernst & Young, Accenture, and Deloitte.
Deloitte. We've heard the that Deloitte. Name before.
Yeah. We'll dig into that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold tight. So he had two girls from his first marriage, which ended in 2012. In 2022, he had a second divorce, which bankrupted him, according to the New York Times. He now lives in a rundown trailer park.
You're wrong!
You think about this. It's kind of the arc of his life, right?
Got him.
Got him.
He gets out of the military, gets his degree. He goes to work at Ernst & Young, which is a pretty big company. Moves to Accenture, and then
multi-dollar company.
It's kind of unclear. It's kind of unclear when he goes to Deloitte, other than that he was working there in 2022, so pretty recently. The salary there, according to defense or to the divorce filing, was $125,000. But he couldn't make the payment on his mortgage, apparently, because of alimony from his first marriage and other issues that are in emails that got leaked to the press. So by this year, he's now living in a rundown trailer park. He can't get access to his kids. He converted to Islam somewhere along the line, maybe in the last year, according to known associates.
Yeah, everything I've been seeing is that it's in the last 8 months that he's kind of just gone off the rails, and he's not like looking after his kids or not seeing his kids, and he got super involved with his Islamic faith just in the last 8 months. So it's like a recent conversion.
And there's some parts of the story that aren't really well understood yet as far as for his background. Was he raised in a Muslim household? Mm-hmm. His name obviously is Arabic. It means son of faith. It seems like it might have Ethiopian roots. But we don't really know what that means yet. And it's very possible he was raised in a secular Muslim household or even a religious one, and then had his career, and now in his crisis moment finds religion, converts to Islam, and then travels to Egypt for 10 days in 2024. That's the other kind of connection there.
Interesting.
And then there is a motive for a video online, like a manifesto of sorts, but we don't have access to it, which is very frustrating. It got taken down immediately once he was became the suspect. But we do have Joe Biden to summarize it for us. If we want to watch him do it. I don't know why.
It's always good to get from Grandpa Joe.
The FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he's inspired by ISIS, expressing a desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle, which he rented to conduct this attack.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Well, this is interesting to me that the video was taken down and that we don't have access to that information. There was a statement by Senator John Kennedy, where he is addressing the attack in New Orleans. I just threw a link in there
for
you.
Yeah, I'm pulling it right now.
And very interestingly, you know, he says, you know, find these people, bring them to justice, and then release the information to the American people, tell them the truth. Very interesting thing for him to say kind of in this moment, seemed to indicate he knows things that he can't share,
that he
wants, you know, to be released at some point. So, but it's a great question. Why, what would the reasoning be for keeping that video from the American people?
Well, it's classic. We get censored on all like manifestos of school shooters and stuff all the time.
Yes, but why?
It's always like the argument is always copycats and you don't want the ideology to spread and yada, yada, yada. But it would be nice for us to live in a functioning democracy, quote unquote. It would be nice for us to be able to have that public information so that we can like make determinations on like who we're voting for in the future and things like that. Like it would be useful information to know, right? But
yeah. Let's have a look at this real quick.
Here's what I want to ask from the federal government. Catch these people. Catch these people. And then tell the American people the truth. Now, I don't want you to tell us yet anything that's going to interfere with your investigation. And there are things that I've been told that I think are true that I'm not sharing with you today because it could interfere with their investigation. But after we get to the bottom of this, they need to tell the American people the truth and the people in New Orleans the truth and the people.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but it's also like just the pattern recognition that I think everyone's suffering from at the moment, too, where there's so many instances of like a thing happens, an assassination attempt, for example, there's an investigation, just basically there's just silence for months and months and months.
Right. And so you think he's calling on the federal government to tell the truth because we haven't been told the truth about a lot of things that have happened.
Or just like, there's just like a very little disclosure, very little revelation that comes out of it for people to really wrap their heads around to explain what happened.
It looks like they're going to put the full force of the federal government into an investigation, but it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
what is that going to get out of there?
Another,
they're going to have a committee hearing on something. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess it's also bears noting too, that this current White House administration and federal government apparatus really only has another 18 days of operation until the inauguration, and then there'll be turnover and who knows what happens to the investigation through that period of time.
Right.
But
Timeline is going to be tough. I mean, so the last time this happened and the guy actually survived the attack was in 2017. And I'm not going to even pronounce the guy's name, but he was sentenced to life in prison in 2023. So from 2017, it took all the way to 2023 for the actual court proceedings to go through and the prosecution. For killing 8 people by intentionally driving a truck into a Manhattan bike path. So that was also ISIS-inspired, apparently. More recently, a 50-year-old doctor from Saudi Arabia rammed a car into a Christmas market in eastern German town of Madisburg, leaving at least 2 dead and more than 60 people wounded.
Yeah, so we're noticing a pattern here of this kind of methodology of attack happening around the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As far as like, and then there's earlier ones. There's the incel attack in Canada from a long while ago. You know, obviously a vehicle is a deadly weapon when placed behind the right person. You know,
we need a car ban.
Yeah, I think we need a car ban.
That's also the thing too. Is both this attack here and then also the Cybertruck that we'll get to later in the episode. Both of them were rented off Turo. So there's also
Joe.
We're going to see a Turo crackdown.
Turo crackdown.
Are you saying I need to start profiling my renters?
Yes. Yes.
My dad
would not help you in this case because one of them's named Matthew.
I know. My dad texts me the same thing. He's like, be circumspect. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't want my car used in a terrorist attack, but how do I prevent this?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a tracker in it, though, so.
Could you insurance rates might go up because of this.
It's true.
Like, you got a Turo vehicle. It's like, ooh, don't know.
Uh-oh.
Might be used in a terrorist attack.
Oh, come on. It's been twice. It's been only happened twice.
Classic.
Statistically relevant.
Depends on what your denominator is.
True. So we're noticing this pattern. And recently, the Sean Ryan Show is a prominent podcast. Sean Ryan is a former CIA agent and special operator. He had a guest on. He had her on several times. In fact, she does a lot of research for him. Her name is Sarah Adams. She's a former CIA targeting officer and still works in that space, gathering intelligence on terrorist groups in the Middle East. She was recently on his show and was talking about how many trained Al-Qaeda terrorists there are that are inside of the United States. She says, by her best estimation, there are over 1,000, possibly more, maybe less. You know, Al-Qaeda could be sort of bolstering that number to make it seem more formidable. But many of them, she says, entered the United States through the Darien Gap down in South America, traveled up through the open border, and are now inside the country, probably seemingly to perpetrate other attacks like this in a variety of different ways. And we've got a clip from her talking about that where she gets into more of the details.
How many fighters do you think we can expect in each attack?
Well, the 1,000 is all of them. So we're calling it, it's an Al-Qaeda planned attack. But within those 1,000 terrorists, some of them are ISIS because they want ISIS to be blamed. I think the more of the fighter types are going to be ISIS, because then if they're caught, you know, then they talk, I'm ISIS. I think of more of the suicide bombers are going to be Al-Qaeda.
I think these attacks will happen simultaneously throughout the United States, or will they be one day here, next day here, another one over here next week?
So they want them coordinated. I don't know if coordinated means all at the same time, or if coordinated means we do it Monday, we do it Tuesday, we do it Wednesday, we do it Thursday, we do it Friday, just do 5 straight days.
What kind of places do you think they're going to target?
So this is what's complicated. So Al-Qaeda's preference, as you can imagine, is symbols of the U.S. or anything that causes economic damage, right? So capital is a great symbol. I feel like bridges or any kind of public transportation always matters, because it puts costs against us and it causes fear. But here's where it gets complicated. So remember, the terrorists might have their goal is they're going to attack the metro in D.C., right? But remember, some of these terrorists are going to be ISIS. And remember, they can change location. So the ISIS guy might go down the metro and say, there's not many people down here. I'll kill 20, but there's a event going on. I'm going to go up there, right? And because ISIS is a little different. ISIS just wants mass casualty.
So what do you make of all this, David?
That podcast was also recorded like a week or two ago, too. Hmm. So it's before this occurred.
It was released in late December. I forget the exact date, but I watched it probably right after it came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand her point there at the end. Is she saying that ISIS and Al-Qaeda have slightly different ambitions in their terrorist attacks? Is that what she's saying?
I think so. Yeah.
So, well, and specifically what she's saying is Al-Qaeda is more interested in like the symbolic retribution aspect of it, and ISIS is more interested in just mass casualty events.
Right. And earlier on in this episode of the podcast, she talks about how they plan attacks for symbolic days that occurred in their country, like days that they were attacked by the United States, or the days that war started or prominent figures were killed. So they're kind of keying into these dates to try to figure out, okay, when can we anticipate retribution happening?
The goal being a dog whistle to other Muslims.
Right.
Right. So at least part of that does pattern match with some of these things. If you use that as a mental model for terrorism, you're saying like terrorism follows this pattern. We're going to like overlay that as a rubric or a heuristic for saying, okay, is this an ISIS attack for real, or is there some other motive going on there?
Mm-hmm.
Is popular area, important date, mass casualty connected with ISIS.
Right.
So that could be it.
And to inspire, just to inspire fear and chaos in the population.
And obviously this guy is not a guy who came up through the Darien Gap, but that doesn't mean that his mosque didn't have an ISIS member or an Al-Qaeda member there to recruit him, right?
Well, that's the thing, because we're talking about Al-Qaeda-trained ISIS fighters that are coming in here, and there's 1,000 of them is what she's suggesting here. But then those are also recruiters, right? So like they're starting up cells in whichever given city or state that they're in, and then they're bringing in people and attracting people that are domestic sympathizers towards the cause or whatever.
Which I think this guy in New Orleans would probably match that description. He doesn't, obviously he's an American citizen, not necessarily someone who illegally entered the country on a fake passport and is planning some attack, who was, you know, directly trained by Al-Qaeda in the Middle East.
Well, and he's in a current resentful mindset in the moment because he is bankrupt from his second wife's like divorce and everything. So he is in a very suggestible state right now to join a cause for the sake of changing his life and mm-hmm. doing something, you know, like I see the psychological route that this would take if everything that we currently know is the correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, and it makes way more sense to make your attack with your asset, not your agent.
Right.
So dividing the asset agent, the asset is the person that you can be make disposable to do a terror attack, who has less to lose. If he goes away, there's not more recruitment, so you keep your agent on the ground recruiting.
Right.
Assumably, they go dark as possible because you know the FBI is going to be going through all of his contacts at the mosque.
For sure.
Yeah.
So how has the media been covering this so far as you guys have seen?
Well, Carr killed people, Joe. That's what happened.
Cars are dangerous.
So AP guidelines suggest that you don't want to use an inanimate object to give it blame, but goddamn, did they do that. So at least 10 people killed by car driving into crowd in New Orleans. So it's not a man driving a car. Witness tells CNN a vehicle slammed into a crowd in New Orleans. So a lot of these, to be fair, are before you know who the person is.
Trump but fell just, down at rally.
There's something right. very suspect about the way they title these things, and people are noticing.
They
trend.
Did the same thing with the BLM fella that drove into a Christmas parade in, I believe it was Minnesota or Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
In like 2020, right. 21. They said, yeah, SUV kills dozens of people or whatever. Yeah. Very strange because they don't want to identify the driver. That's your the rationale.
Well, I mean, if you don't know who the driver is, but you would structure the sentence differently. Say a man drove a vehicle. Yeah. Right?
To steal
if it
man.
Was a gun, you would say a person shot somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
They have no problem saying, you know, a school shooter, not a gun walked into a school.
But to steel man them, like when you read this, you're probably automatically assuming there is a driver of the car that is right. driving, right?
Yeah, but wouldn't you say driver kills X number of people?
I don't know. This one's not as egregious to me as like Trump falls down because loud noises at rally.
Yeah,
right? That's way more egregious than this one.
Well, imagine if you had a conservative one, the conservative situation is saying, I don't know, man kills 15 people, you know, and then doesn't mention that it was a gun.
Right.
You'd be like, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Well, you might say shooter or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a bias towards, because I mean I feel like if it came to light early enough that this was a Trump supporter, they would say Trump supporter kills X number of people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, is there a bias there because of who the person is?
Ideological bias. Well, I mean, obviously the other end of that spectrum would be a conservative newspaper saying Islamic terrorist kills whatever, in order to like prime you for the lens to use to understand this person.
Sure.
What his core motive was.
So are they trying to provide a more neutral lens by saying car?
Maybe. Yeah.
And it's also, and a lot of these may have come out before we knew like the ISIS affiliations and things like these too, right?
Right.
But
this was early.
There could also be an argument too of like, you might not want to say ISIS member kills 15 people with car in New Orleans or something. You might want to just say driver or car driving because putting out the ISIS member thing instills the fear that the ISIS people are trying to instill.
Right.
So like that's the media fair. Panic that comes with it and the fear mongering that comes with it is kind of what ISIS is hoping to accomplish.
That's a fair point.
Assuming all of everything. That we
Similar rationale for concealing the manifesto video and things of that nature.
Yeah. Like that would be kind of the steel man for being more like not quite as transparent with the titling and the headlines.
That checks out for sure. So, since we don't have the manifesto video, what do we know about why this driver did this?
Obviously we have Biden's thing. We have a lot of motive speculations we can get into where it does get a little weird, right? This guy's bio is interesting, and there's a lot of interesting components to it. So, this is all speculation from here until we say otherwise, until we get to blowback and kind of larger terrorism question. So for this guy specifically, he did work at Deloitte, which is effectively, we've previously covered, as a consultancy cutout for the CIA. So remembering that after the October massacre, during the, he just died, Carter administration, they cut the FBI or the CIA back dramatically in terms of funding, in terms of their personnel. the CIA then reworked itself through the Reagan administration as like a government liaison point for a series of for-profit and nonprofit companies and organizations to keep their mission going by using second-party contracting to make a lot of this stuff happen. So,
are you suggesting
to be specific on the CIA cutout stuff too? I think that it is deserving to be a bit specific. There is back 15, 20 years ago, there was a Deloitte hired a bunch of former CIA agents for their competitive intelligence unit, which is that's where the CIA connection exists in there, and like what that actually entails. Up for a lot of speculation.
Yeah. Well, that was known and covered, right? That's where we have the hardest evidence of that connection. Beyond that, we have, because Deloitte precedes, as a company, precedes the CIA. It wasn't like created by it, not like other groups that we've covered.
Yeah.
But it does have this interesting phenomena. For example, all those people are supposedly former, right? And can you be a former IC, right?
Right.
And then second to that, we do have the testimony of himself admitting it of Amjad Anton Faisi. Who got OMG'd 8 months ago, and we covered this when it happened.
When you say that, yeah, you mean he got James outed O'Keefe. By James O'Keefe.
James O'Keefe!
With an undercover dater or something like that.
Yes, yeah. He claimed, and he had a security badge of being a CIA agent, working in cybersecurity, and he confirmed that he worked at Deloitte. So that is a really good evidence of Deloitte being not just their
there's some noticing to be had.
Yeah, not just their competitive intelligence or whatever, former CIA, but rather active CIA agents working there as cover for doing operations, right? Not to mention, if you're in it, then you can actually control people within it as well as assets, right? They may have no CIA connection, but they report to this guy who does.
Right.
Well, and that's kind of what I mean is like what happened back in 2007 or whenever that was is we're talking like there's this hiring and acquisition of CIA agents into the company. Like this is an auditing accounting company, right?
Yeah, it's like a corporate consultant.
But then, so like, it begs the question for a long period of time there of like, well, what's actually going on there? Like why specifically? Yeah, we're going to hire a bunch of CIA guys, right? Mm-hmm. What's actually happening there? And then when we have the James O'Keefe OMG thing, you're just like, oh, there's a like an actual CIA with the badge guy there that works directly for Deloitte. It's like, okay, what's happening there?
Yeah.
So like that part of the story was something we focused on, but the larger narrative was him talking about withholding information from former President Donald Trump while he was in office, that the CIA did that, and suggested that intelligence agencies, including the CIA, were still monitoring Trump and his associates. So those are two things he suggested in his date. Now, maybe he was just talking shit, but I don't think it was untrivial, right? So the other part of that is why did he get a job at Deloitte, meaning Jabbar? Jabbar has a background in HR and IT, and then you get a job which Deloitte says was in business development. So you work in IT and HR for the Army. You get out. You work in IT for Ernst & Young, and you do something for Accenture. We don't know yet exactly what that was. And then you get a job in business development for Deloitte.
Yeah, it's a bit of a career shift. Career shift.
Yeah, yeah. And business development would be approaching new international clients,
right,
to get them on for auditing and then supposedly and possibly for CIA plugins to that company or nonprofit or whatever thing that you're working with so that then you can direct the direction, right? You can get dirt on people, you can spy, you can do all the important things that the CIA does.
To steal a man, there could be some rationale for that, you know, with his history in IT, for example. Cybersecurity is a huge threat these days.
They have an IT division, but he wasn't working for that division. He was working for business development.
Right. But he could be kind of leveraging his knowledge of IT to go to new potential clients and say, hey, this is a big risk. We should start working together so that we can protect you from, you know, the potential for cyber threats against your company. Something like that. I mean, just to try to, you know, paint a potentially favorable picture of why that might occur.
Sure, there's a sensibility there, and I get that. The other part of that is we don't know the degree to which he was involved in it. Now, what people are saying is like, well, he didn't work in their competitive intelligence unit, therefore he's not CIA.
You can't say that, right?
Yeah, you can't. I
you
mean,
can't
like,
necessarily say that
because that's not how shadowy organizations that work by secrecy work, right?
Right.
Plausible deniability.
They're not just going to be like, hey, this is the special CIA unit right here. Like, it's like, look at how things worked with the Twitter files and how embedded they were into everything like that. It's not like this is the CIA division of Twitter.
Right.
It's no. Like, there's no CIA FBI connection to Twitter because there's no special CIA FBI special unit inside Twitter.
Yeah, except the chief counsel for Twitter was a former FBI like higher up, right? Wasn't he in legal, like chief counsel for the FBI or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want to point this out. Like, this is not saying that the CIA directed the attack or something like that. What it's saying is that there is a history of intelligence services using their own connected assets to conduct terrible things within the United States.
For what purpose?
Well, for all kinds. Well, I mean, experiments, creating more public distrust. That's what MKUltra was in some levels, right? Some of it was trying to create mind control. Some of it was specifically putting drugs into the streets, psychedelics into the streets to see what would happen.
Right.
Right. And to create the sense of chaos and culture and all that kind of stuff that would disrupt the hippie movement so that you could conduct your foreign policy.
Right.
Now,
classic Neo bros. Yeah.
So
what if we just dump LSD in the streets, bro? What are they going to do? It's going to be crazy. Well,
and keep in mind that there was one CIA scientist who died under mysterious circumstances by being dosed LSD to the point where he supposedly committed suicide or was pushed off a balcony. We don't know.
Well, and that's the area where when you see these sorts of connections, you have to leave room open for some crazy stuff to be possible.
Right.
It might not be as simple as what it seems,
right,
of just like, oh, just ISIS guy doesn't attack, you know, like, right, there could be other things at play here.
Well, and like, again, he's not just an ISIS guy. He's former military, mm-hmm, right?
Yep.
He's worked at Deloitte. Like, we've got all these little data points that suggest that there's more to his story than just guy going through a divorce in, you know, he's distraught and he just, you know, adopts religion and becomes a terrorist. Like, mm-hmm, that's a very simplistic narrative.
It's a prime target for something.
It is.
If you're going to use somebody for something, that's a prime target.
Exactly.
Right.
And if the inspiration was simply, you know, that it happened all organically, it's possible. But there's also all of the secrecy then kind of opens this door to speculation about this.
And there's another piece of this, too, that I think is really worth noting. Going back to the Sarah Adams interview on Sean Ryan, she talks about in other parts of that podcast how much money we're sending to Al-Qaeda, to the Taliban, to like high up individuals in that organization, like to the tune of tens of millions of dollars a week, like $40 to $80 million a week.
To the Taliban, not Al-Qaeda. Right?
To all sorts of figures within,
okay,
you know, different networks and, you know, governments, if you want to say that, about the Taliban. But, you know, so to that point, we're sending them money. The government is sending them money against like international law, basically, and cultivating or allowing them to cultivate whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. We have individuals coming to this country, you know, upwards of 1,000 potentially, who are going to start carrying out these acts. Like, that to me is another link that, you know, sort of, I won't say incriminates, but it incorporates CIA involvement into what's going on. So you have to consider that. And, it, you know, I think there's a lot left to be desired, especially in the Sarah Adams interview, where she's saying like, the intel agencies, the government, you know, the administration aren't taking these threats seriously. So if they weren't doing that, why?
Yeah, why aren't they taking them seriously?
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good question. It seems like to me that the theory could go that this is the unintended consequence of those things, right? Or it could go to you have factions of the CIA that are doing one thing and another faction's doing another thing. And because of plausible deniability, they actually don't even know that they're the other one's doing it, right? With different mission
goals in mind.
It's a very
generous view, David.
Well, I'm still manning right now.
And that's
just
fair.
But also, these are huge organizations with a lot of different departments and units doing different
things, certainly.
Right?
I mean, obviously,
like, not everybody knows everything that's going on with every single department within a massive bureaucracy, right?
Actually, we know this, right? So, like, the National Endowment for Democracy is the DNC wing of this. There are RNC wings of the CIA and these intelligence communities as well. So, the different political factions also play out different games that they're more interested in.
Well, right? It's also remember our thesis of Bashar al-Assad with the unit with the the fact-checking unit in Syria. Speaking of Syria, like ISIS is the Eastern Front there, and we're celebrating them over, you know, it's worth, always worth remembering that.
You guys, a former Al-Qaeda guy.
Like worth remembering, like the whole ISIS. Is...
They moderated, Kyle. Okay. They're cool now.
They've grown up.
They're going to have a gay pride parade in Damascus next year. I'm telling you.
You know, when I was beheading people, I was in my 20s. Things got a little crazy. I was a little radical. But it's just, remember, ISIS is the Islamic State of Syria, or the Islamic State of Iran and Syria, or
Iraq.
Iraq and Syria. So like, wait, there's the whole Syria thing. Isn't it Iran? No, because the Levant goes into, because it's actually ISIL.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to be of Iran and the Levant. Right. So, and Iraq is part of the Levant.
Yeah, it would include Jordan. It would include Syria. Yeah. It would include Israel, all those areas.
Oh. It is Iraq and Syria.
Iraq, yeah.
It is Iraq?
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense because of the Sunni-Shia divide.
Yeah.
So anyway, lots of ways for the intelligence agencies and the broader network of NGOs and other things to be involved, and maybe in ways that are leaking out in unintended ways. So I will grant that it's possible that there, you know, it's not saying it's like, oh, the CIA did this. That's not what I'm saying. But there's just a lot of involvement, a lot of money flying around, and obviously not enough oversight of what the unintended consequences could be, particularly, you know, of our just general foreign policy in the Middle East for the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
Well,
and there is one theory that I want to note out for the direct involvement there. And this kind of happened immediately, and some of this is kind of clumsily done, which is this guy was MK-Ultra'd, right? There's the psychological operations on an individual to cause them to do a crazy thing, right? That is the theory in Chaos, right? The Secret History in the 1970s is that the guy wasn't motivated by Helter Skelter. What's his name? Manson. Mm-hmm. Wasn't motivated by Helter Skelter. It was actually a psychological operation directed by agents within the CIA. And I want to note that the heart attack gun, when it happened, was a sci-fi weapon, right? It wasn't known by the general public, and you can just play it and we can just watch it real quick, just to remind everybody, and I'll just talk over it if you want to mute it, Kyle, that this was an impossibility that you could use a gun to deliver a chemical to somebody that would cause them a heart attack, right? Until it came out in the church committee that this is a thing that they had in hand.
And what it is, too,
it was used.
Just to recall, is a really thin, it's like, you know, as thin as a hair, basically, but it's a tiny little piece of ice that contains a toxin derived from shrimp. Mm. And it fires into them, and the little ice bullet will go into your skin, only leaving the tiniest little red bump that, you know, a medical examiner would never detect as a potential reason for someone dying, right? And then the toxin obviously goes to the heart, and it gives you a heart attack.
Right.
Well, crazy. And it's like I've said in the past, is everybody that I've ever talked to or heard from of people that are involved in military weapons and intelligence programs and things like that always tell me, expect 4 decades of military weapons progress beyond what you currently are seeing.
Yeah.
And if you're supposed to take that seriously, what does that actually look like? Because like, this was a sci-fi weapon at the time.
Right.
Like, this is something that was classified, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know it existed until it was declassified for us in front of Congress.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So what is it now? Well, the MK Ultra theory is that they still have psychological operations, that they can put something in your food or install something in your house or shoot you with a little gun that just makes it feel like a mosquito bite,
mm-hmm.
that delivers chemical toxins that will make you crazy. Right. Yeah. So like if you
we're highly suggestible and things like
completely.
That.
Completely.
Right. So, you know, this is a guy with connections to Islam who is formally, you know, connected to the agency by Deloitte, who you want to have a motive of causing fear, chaos, method to lead up to a major flip at the FBI and DNI, right? So we have a major threat happening to the intelligence community at the same time. This was speculated by Clint Russell. You slip this guy a psychotic inducing drug, install it at his house, into his food, whatever, and next thing you know, something happens. You just spark that. We exist for a purpose, right? If you're coming after the censorship industrial complex and they want to keep that going, Well, the original function of the censorship industrial complex was to keep this from happening, right? Supposedly. So they have this, there is a motive, there is a thing there. We don't have material evidence in this case, but we have a pattern of history that puts the CIA in a situation specifically to do this. They have the means to do this, potentially. We don't know that they do, but we know they have the incentive and they've worked to do it in the past. So, you know, there's a case to be made there. Now, we don't have any evidence. It's highly speculative, of course, but we want to, at least if you're not going to become captive to the very phenomena of plausible deniability, you have to speculate into that space and say, like, well, that's always a possibility. Tell me I'm wrong, please, CIA. Please tell me I'm wrong.
Yep.
I mean, the CIA had a program to, like, to investigate if they could do psychological assassinations, like if they could kill people with their brains. Mm-hmm. Like, when you realize that that's something that was on the table for studying, it's like a lot of things are on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now we know. There was just a video that came across my path in the last couple of days of a guy giving a lecture talking about how they have smart dust with nanotechnology that can penetrate the blood-brain barrier and can cause like hemorrhagic bleeding and basically cause people to have strokes. So heart attack gun 2.0 in that sense. And lots of other things that they can do with nanotechnology that they're working on, you know, to sort of control people, make them suggestible, cause them to die, like all sorts of stuff. Like, we know that this stuff exists. And I think your point is really well taken. If we know that they were doing it in the past, we shouldn't just assume that they aren't doing it now.
Yeah.
We can't assume that.
There's a normalcy bias, like the mental model of normalcy bias, where you say, the world is what it appears to me because that's what my selection is. Like, I have this light, everything else is dark, and all I see is where the light's at. And so I keep looking for my keys under the light when, you know, it could be in the dark.
Right.
So that you want to avoid that. And the only way to avoid that is to engage in the very uncomfortable practice of saying, well,
what if?
What if? I mean, and dive in there. And there's like a lot of clickbait. There's a lot of bullshit in that space. There's a lot of people talking out their ass. And I'm not, you know, we're trying to differentiate from that by just saying, hey, we need to say this as part of it. And this is why we need intelligence community reform, is so that we can say that this definitely isn't happening.
Right. Right.
I knew a guy that was very involved. Like, he was a private contractor for developing all sorts of chemical based weapon type of stuff. Like, the exact specifics was always, it's too classified, I can never be told type of stuff. But some of the things that he kind of danced around topically all the time, whenever I chatted with him, it was just kind of like the stuff that you're talking about there, right? It's in that ballpark, mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah.
Of those things.
So the other part of this is the blowback theory, which is the strategy theory, right? Or the strategy layer of this. Now, this is less speculative, but this is trying to talk about, okay, so there could be other components to why this happened that really matter. And noting part of that, you know, and we've kind of suggested this a little bit, it was really super duper important that we overthrow Assad using Al-Qaeda 2 seconds ago.
Yes.
In ISIS. So is this a secondary order consequence of that, right? Of that funding, of that, you know, open border, of all those phenomena. Now, of course, what that means is that Jack Posobiec has to come after the libertarians right now for some reason.
He says,
our fault.
He says here in this tweet, it seems that the basic bitch libertarian principles were not enough to stop the New Orleans attack.
Now, I don't know what principles those are or what he's talking about, or how libertarians have any control or power over anything.
I mean,
I don't know what's happening here.
This seems to be a little bit of libertarian rage bait to me, like, because he doesn't explain his point in any way, shape, or form to actually give ground for there to be a valid argument on this. I mean, I don't know. How do you guys interpret this?
Every year there's like three conservative commentators that will use this type of talking point throughout the year at something for whatever reason. And it happens every single year. There's like, this happens a few times, and it's always met with like,
we got this one out of the way early.
It's always met with like, what?
I'm already, like, what are you talking about? I've got my bingo card going, guys.
There's something within like conservative ink for some reason where they have this belief and this blame game of attacking libertarians for, like, the problem is conservatives have become too libertarian. And you're just like, what? Like, what is happening? Like, what do you mean?
I know. Even trying to steel man his argument, I'm like, what is this? Like an open borders thing he's trying to pull on here? Like, I don't even get it. But
yeah,
being our friends at Being Libertarian have a great response to this. They say, the most powerful and expensive government and surveillance agency in human history, with all its resources and technology, failed. But it's a libertarian problem. Maybe we could try the libertarian approach and just not fund terrorists.
See, that pretty seems novel thought. Radical. Yeah. I wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
No. Crazy
that's,
talk.
That's a little radical.
Robert Murphy has the best responses. No H-1B visa holder would have it take this dumb.
Got him.
But yeah, so like this whole blowback theory is an important component of this. You know, and this is like is Ron Paul right again? You know,
yes,
sort of thing.
The answer is always yes.
Always yes. So homegrown terrorism recruitment in the United States is also explained by this, right? You have the, so the theory is often kind of misstated. In Robert Pape's Dying to Win, which is like the most systematic study of suicide terrorism, it basically says, when you have a country that's dominating your country, an outside force that is dominating your country, that has overwhelmingly superior technology, resources, things like that, you resort to suicide terrorism, with religion being a tertiary justification for the underlying power dynamic of the overwhelming force dominating your people in your country, right? Mm. So the classic Ron Paul example of this is, what if there were Chinese troops in Texas and they were dominating people, and every now and then they'd go out and make a mistake and maybe kill somebody, and then that person happened to be related to you, wouldn't you become a terrorist too and fight back, right?
Right.
So that that phenomena happens on the identity level as well. And that's where the homegrown terrorism phenomena happens as well. We dominate the Middle East. The natural consequence of our empire is terrorism. And it's sometimes terrorism by our own people who, you know, in this case, deploy overseas and maybe see terrible things. And then they say, you know, to an identity that they sympathize with. And then they say, well, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's motivated by other psychological phenomena like resentment. And for the social order that they came up in, for the resentment, like, I can't stay married and I keep getting divorced and I get poorer and poorer each time. Those sorts of phenomena all are motive to the underlying power dynamic that is affecting them.
Yeah.
And it's the power dynamic that we could do the most about, right? We can't remove the terrible, you know, situation when it comes to, you know, alimony and people, you know, going bankrupt because of marriages, right? That's a much more difficult problem to solve sociologically. But we can stop the empire, right? And the question is, would that stop terrorism? And that's always the debate, right? Because if they hate us for our freedoms, if they hate us because we're free, there's no way to stop that, right? Because we're not going to stop being free.
Right. Which is a very convenient reason to cite to basically continue the wars on terror in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of things become symbolism fights. And that's something that, you know, when we're talking about the distinction there with Al-Qaeda and ISIS, like Al-Qaeda really cares about the symbolism. And she mentioned it, and Sarah Adams, she mentioned it talking about like they target symbolic places for the sake of that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even when we go back to last episode and we're talking about the H-1B stuff, like, that's kind of what happened with Elon and Vivek, is they stepped in the middle of a symbolism fight, mm-hmm, with their like logic and their reason, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that becomes having a thing where you're like, where you're having a very radical position of being like, I think immigration should be more than zero and less than infinity. Like, that is in the middle of a symbolism fight.
Right.
It's like, well, that's, you can't do that. That you're stepping on too many toes with that. Right. And that's what happens with terrorism, is everything becomes about the symbolic and the psychology. And you'll use religious principles to kind of masquerade everything, but everything is about the actual symbols themselves. And those are going to war at each other.
And there's no doubt that those symbols do derive religious undertones, mm-hmm, and do originate in religion, but the important change difference between those who do terrorism, those who don't, is to the degree to which they are seeing the power dynamic play. Mm-hmm. That's why, even though there's a lot of Muslims who support terrorism, right, only a very small minority do terrorism.
They're the woke ones. The ones you notice, the power dynamics. So,
the postmodern.
We got woke terrorists out here.
Woke terrorists.
he didn't dye his beard.
I don't know. I don't know. The ones throwing gays off roofs, I don't know if I could call that woke.
Yeah. Right?
It's just a different brand.
just new branding. Of woke.
We got all kinds of new woke cones coming out. We got woke right. Now we got woke terrorism. It's a whole thing.
It's a plague.
Another part of this that is interesting, and just to highlight this, that the U.S. government spent $500 million on fake Al-Qaeda propaganda videos.
Fake?
Yes. Well, fake in the sense of like their actual...
They just
actual,
made them?
Yeah, they made them. They spent $500 million on fake Al-Qaeda propaganda videos that tracked the location of viewers.
Bennett, do you think we could get on in on some of those contracts?
This was 2016, so I'm not sure if they're doing this still, but... yeah. They hired a UK-based PR firm to produce and disseminate videos during the Iraq War.
Wow.
So, and this is once again, like, if he was, it was fully converted with no outside help, no terrorist cell that snuck into the country and got into his mosque and convinced him, even if it was completely online, what if the videos he watched were the ones that we made? Isn't that bizarre?
Let me understand the purpose of this, okay? Just 1 second. Let me just make sure my brain is correct on this. So they made fake terrorism videos, like recruitment and promotional videos, mm-hmm. for the sake of tracking the people that watch them. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't really think about the, like, oh, this might actually inspire people. Like, they're solely focused, like, they're linear thinking. This is how we're going to track the people that find them.
Right.
Okay. Right. Just making sure.
It's kind of like we're going to stop homegrown terrorism by convincing a bunch of people to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
This is $500 million.
Yeah, $500 million.
Just a casual half a bill.
So you kind of create the terrorism that you want. Now, this is actually a theory of, and has some evidence.
What do you call
it? Of Julian Assange.
The self-licking ice cream cone?
Yes. This is a theory of Julian Assange that, and this is specifically in the Carter Cables release, where he kind of summarizes the findings of the Carter Cables, which are a huge dump. As an effort since the war on terror. I became Bostonian all of a sudden.
I was going to Aussie.
As a collaboration between the CIA and Saudi Arabia to create a Sunni, you know, terror problem in the Iraq to Syria area that became ISIS. So he says the CIA created ISIS as a strategy to draw Sunni extremists to an area so that we could fight them and thus continue, you know, the clean break ambitions.
God.
Does that make sense?
It's just genius. Yeah. It's just total genius.
Well, I mean, there's from their point of view, yeah. I mean, from the point of view, is like, if what you want is to control the Middle East and have a constant problem to solve, one of the things you do is spend $500 million on fake Al-Qaeda propaganda videos under the idea that you're going to track the location. Not only do you get the location so you can go fight them, but then you get to select out of that population and continue the churn of war and problems in the area so that you can continue your budget.
Yeah.
You can also be like, hey, look, there's all these promotional videos. They're doing mass recruiting.
Right.
Well, and
even
and
though
takes,
you're the one paying for them.
Yeah, and it takes the pressure off Saudi Arabia to need a actual leadership in the Muslim world to fight back against the West, because they say, well, we're not going to put pressure on the Saudi prince, who is making all these compromises with the West and cutting deals like the Abrahamic Accords. Instead, we can put our focus and pressure on the people who are actually doing it, and you're going to select out of your society all those kind of disgruntled young men, and they're all going to go fight for ISIS, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to try to overthrow Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
No, right? I mean, so that's the motive, right? And if that's the motive, to what degree, if this guy got radicalized online, that this is an end result of those sorts of narrow power-based hegemony plans?
Right. I do mean it in both ways. Like, it's genius in that it's like totally moronic because of the end effects that we're seeing here, but it's also like really, really smart, not just because of the way that it, you know, stabilizes Saudi Arabia in those ways, but also because it gives them something to look at here and say, oh, we need more funding for domestic terrorism efforts, you know, or mm-hmm. tracking online. It gives them more ways to pull for more restrictions on online speech and chat platforms or whatever. And who knows what's going to come out from how this guy was radicalized. I'm sure, you know, we'll learn more about that in the coming days and weeks as this thing unfolds. But like, I think
we'll
learn something. We'll learn what they want to tell us, which yeah. will be telling in and of itself,
which will be nothing.
Well, it'll be whatever they narrative they want to spin, really.
Yeah, right. And so that's where the there's been a lot of community noting on people saying, yeah, I can't, I'm really worried about this Iranian extremist attacking us right now. That's sarcasm, because the theory is, and this is like unstated, but it's right there, and we'll see if it happens, that they will leverage this to try to stir for war for Iran, mm-hmm. against Iran. Mm-hmm. And even though ISIS is against Iran, and like they're fighting each other. This is where it's going to go.
Which is why me making the mistake of calling the I and ISIS Iran silly.
Yeah,
right. Like that it is Iraq because they're very different sides, the Sunni versus Shia, right?
Yes, but I think this illustrates a real point of vulnerability for the American public is that the differentiation of Iran being against ISIS and all the factional stuff that's going on in the Middle East is totally not understood by most Americans.
They're all brown people from a backward side of the of the world. They're
sort of a homogenized mass of enemies at this point. And whoever it is, I don't really care. Just go get them. Like that's the sort of emotion that is stirred.
Are the people that we're kind of like drumming up and trying to stir up for conflict in the Middle East to be in this proxy war with Iran and things like, right. You know, right. We're kind of antagonizing all these different factions within the area to drum up and become this thing in the proxy
that we can fight or use to fight.
Unless you're a Human Reaction subscriber, in which case, you know, the difference. And you're smart, unlike all those plebs. Right?
That's right.
That's the difference.
That's right. That's why we do what we do.
I'm kind of retarded. Yeah.
Well, it's like they overthrow Syria and they think that that's like Iran. Like they're different entities, right? Yeah, like, but in the American mind and the American psyche, it's just they're all the same thing. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the cyber truck attack.
Yeah. Is it an attack? We don't know. So.
The cyber truck event. Yourself.
It was Turo.
It was Turo.
We could call these the Turo attacks.
The Turo attacks.
So,
boy, I'm sure they're really loving their brand being associated with this.
Yeah, not good. Shit. So,
you know what? It actually also kind of sounds like terrorism to me.
Terrorism.
Time for rebranding.
Heard it here first.
All right. Matthew Leibelsberger dies in Cybertruck fireworks explosion.
Sounds Arab.
Outside. Sounds.
Go ahead.
Outside Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. So a Tesla Cybertruck full of canisters of gas and fireworks. And when you watch the explosion here, it's very clear that this was a fireworks explosion.
Yeah, you can see all the crackling and stuff.
Yeah. See,
I got it playing
it's
here.
It's going to happen here in a second.
It's about to launch.
It's got a nice lot of buildup.
Right. Yeah.
Dun. Oh.
Right. Look,
yeah, like
fireworks.
Right in front of the camera. It's like, oh, it's so festive. Was this just a guy headed to a New Year's Eve party or like left him in his truck by accident?
He's in the truck, though.
Oh.
That's what's so weird about
right.
it. And he just pulls up there. He drives it.
I love Joe forgetting the fact
that. Look, he was just stopping for some snacks at the corner convenience store right across the street. He hadn't gotten out of the car yet. He accidentally tried to light a smoke, and no, I'm just kidding.
Why would you fill your Cybertruck full of gasoline? Because one of the things that if you look at the post explosion, you see all these gas canisters that have been blown open. Mm-hmm. Why? What is that? What is up with that?
Yeah. And so, I shouldn't laugh. This is
so many
tragedy, and obviously I don't know what
the other
motivations
strategy.
Were.
This is just this goofball being a fucking dickhead.
Do we know? Do we know his motivations?
No, we don't. I'm just saying, like, we don't have any reason to believe. That's why calling it a terrorist attack is weird. Because
yeah.
I mean, just because it's a failed terrorist attack doesn't mean it was a terrorist attack, right?
Right.
So like the shoe bomber was a terrorist attack.
Yes.
Even though no one died.
Right.
So
this seems symbolic.
But we don't have
this
a manifesto. We don't have any clear political philosophy based upon what we know.
But what we do know is that it was a Cybertruck parked in front of Trump Tower.
Yes.
And there's all this effort to sort of try to drive this wedge between Elon and Trump and all the stuff that's around that. And so does this seem to you, Kyle, like it's sort of something along those lines?
That's why there seems to be some sort of symbolic nature to this.
But suicide?
Some sort. Well, that's the thing. It's just like, what is his actual motivations? We don't know. But it's just my gut instinct tells me that there's something symbolic because Elon and Trump are like the two most important figures in the world right now.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
So who is this guy? What do we know about him?
Well, as you can see from the image, he looks quite Arab.
Extremely Arab.
What the fuck? 37 years old, identified as the driver as a Cybertruck exploded in Las Vegas, listed on LinkedIn as operational director and intelligence manager with special forces experience. And it's substantial. It's
Green Beret.
19 year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make the motive make sense. You know,
here's his LinkedIn.
Remote autonomous systems. So he was a drone pilot as well.
Well, I mean, Cybertrucks are autonomous.
Or a consultant for it, probably.
Sure.
But why be inside of it if it's autonomous?
remote and autonomous systems manager, special forces operations manager and team sergeant, special forces intelligence and operations specialist, special forces communications specialist.
It seems to me like a suicide attempt, right? Like it's obviously it wasn't a planned suicide from him.
That's yeah.
It
I mean, it could like. Have been an accident, right? He's like literally in it. He lights the fuse and he's like trying to get out. I was like, oh shit, how do I get? I can't get the door open.
That's what I'm
and
saying. He's going blows. To a party. He has fireworks. He has cans of gas for the bonfire they're going to do. Like, I'm not even joking. Like,
but well. Why do you go to downtown Las Vegas for that? You leave Colorado
in
Springs.
In front of Trump Tower.
You drive to Las Vegas in front of Trump Tower.
Okay, so that's another thing. He left Colorado to go to Vegas.
Yes.
To do this.
Yes.
Or
rented,
allegedly.
Was he staying a Cybertruck at Trump on Tower?
Maybe was he staying there?
Maybe he was
we haven't confirmed
there.
That yet. Yeah, don't know.
Do we know if fireworks are legal in Colorado? Maybe he went to Nevada to get them. I don't know.
That's our fireworks question. Legal in Colorado.
To buy.
Or use. He could have gone there to
well, he
again,
was
to
a defender of illegal fireworks, according to what is suspected as his Facebook. And that this guy, John Jordan Rohn, defines it as a Trump supporter. But what he does is he does criticize John Bolton for basically being an ass. Yeah.
So fireworks that explode or leave the ground are illegal statewide in Colorado.
So maybe he was just doing a trip to pick him up.
Maybe so.
But why gasoline?
I do kind of think the bonfire thing.
I don't know. That might be it.
That's actually a really reasonable motive.
Really just trying to steal reason. Something out of this because we just know so little about it.
It just makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Without a manifesto, we don't have a reason for a motive. I mean, like we did with the military person who lit himself on fire in, was it D.C.?
Been two. That was Atlanta and D.C. If I remember right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was a protest. That was a pro Palestinian.
Fire!
Bennett. I'm trying to be sensitive about this, and you're just really not making it very easy.
It's kind of my, that's my role.
That's right. Someone's got to add the heat to the conversation.
Oh man.
Literally.
Okay. So what about the guy self-immolating? Based upon Palestine, right?
I mean, like with that one, it was more clear because he stated a motive for why he did that.
Left a manifesto, all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. This guy, I mean, did he have any overt like social media posts or anything about like, hating Trump or Elon?
He hated John Bolton and was a supporter of Ukraine. That's what I've seen so far.
Now that makes even less sense.
Which makes it even weirder.
I think it's generally an opponent of Russia and celebrating Russian deaths on his Reddit account, what we discovered. And this was based upon finding an email that was connected to him and then tracing where that email went, including Reddit. But that seems like a general military guy sort of thing, right? It's like, this is the battle going on. Russia's an enemy of the United States, that sort of thing.
This is also, the Reddit posts on that are also from 2 years ago, which is much more when kind of it was cool for everybody to be super anti-Russia and super pro-Ukraine and all that. Like in that starting few months, everybody was kind of in that milieu.
Right.
For the most part. Not us, but like the general populace.
The normies,
like even the right wing was there, right?
Right.
But the right wing was just the first to stop being there.
It would be extremely ironic if he was just going to Trump Tower because he likes Trump. And everyone's interpreted this as a Trump, like a terrorist attack to like stop Trump.
He loves Elon, so he bought a Cybertruck. He loves Trump. He just wanted to see the Trump Tower.
He was rented the Cybertruck.
Oh, fair.
And then everyone's like, this is an attack against Elon.
Totally backfired, am I right?
He goofed off. He was smoking inside the truck and it blew up.
Well, if he did that in a truck full of fireworks and gasoline, Darwin Award goes to him.
Right. It could be just that. And that's one of the things, too, is like people are looking at like, with all this special forces training, if he wanted to do damage, why didn't he do more damage? Right? Like that there's a weird...
He didn't realize how strong the Cybertruck was.
I mean, Elon did have a really funny tweet about that. He's like, knucklehead picked the wrong vehicle because like, look, the windows at Trump Tower didn't even break.
Yeah.
Like the truck contained it all.
Apparently, it exploded upward, not outward because of the body of it, the steel.
Well, when I saw the video, my first instinct was like remembering Joe Rogan putting the arrow at...
The broadhead arrow into the side of it. Barely even dented it.
Well, it's bulletproof, right?
Well, yeah. steal.
But I mean, but it's also just like, this could be suicide, right? Like, it could be, you know, he's former military guy, elaborate suicide, might have some symbolic meaning for why he did it with here or there. Yeah. Or it might have just been like, this will be the place downtown, you know, or something. It could be a lot of different things there.
We really don't know. Crazy. But it is peculiar, the degree to which these happened so close to one another. Both of them went to the same base. Now, it is an enormous base. So
Fort Bragg.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And also, Ryan Ruth also spent a lot of time at that base. Remember Ryan Ruth, the guy who tried to kill
Trump? Which is another.
Don't be suspicious.
Maybe there's some sort of a unit there that exists that's doing something. Who knows?
You mean the IC would develop a unit on a military base to experiment on soldiers? For the
now, when you put it like that, operations? It sounds crazy.
That's how we get Captain America.
But like there could be something like that that exists there. You know, it's hard to know. We don't have enough information to really go off beyond that. Like, all we can do is dubiously speculate on it. Irresponsibly so.
That's very, what podcasting's for.
Very irresponsibly. There should be a disclaimer at the top of this episode. Like, don't take any of this too seriously.
But yeah, it is interesting. It's just the military background, all that stuff. Like, you know, it could be a tragic soldier suicide story. Like, that's a very common thing too, right? It could be that.
Yeah.
But it could be more to it, that there is some sort of symbolic punch, which my instinct tells me that that is what it is, just because it's so Trump Elon.
Yeah, it's so overt that, like, if that were just like an accident, that would almost be less likely in my mind.
Yeah, it's just like and even if there wasn't a Cybertruck and it was just in front of Trump Tower, I would still be instinctually doing that. Like, if this could have happened in front of any tower, but it had to be Trump Tower, which is why all of a sudden you have to kind of have this. Well, there's been two assassination attempts on Trump. Everybody, like, so much of the country hates Trump. There's all this animosity towards Trump. You're just like, well, it's got to be some sort of thing there.
But, yeah, but you never know.
But it could just be random.
See, I see it differently, Joe. I see it kind of even odds. I have a really, it's just so little information to really anchor it in either way. If he had a manifesto, or if he had a social media profile that was like, super Trump is the Nazi Hitler president's going to destroy America, then I'd be like, okay, the symbolism is starting to track, but it just doesn't track so far from what we know.
Do you guys remember? I'm trying to find it right now. Oh, George W. Bush last year posted a picture of Trump Tower with some sort of really interesting and cryptic caption to it. And I'm trying to locate it.
There was also the Alex Soros stuff that there was. It appeared to be like symbolic representation of ordering a hit on Trump.
Whoa.
There was like, it was like an image of him holding up $45 and like, it was like all this stuff that it suggested a hit.
I totally missed this. This is wild.
I brought it up on the podcast like a year ago.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
It might have been $47. I can't remember, but yeah, there's a lot of that type of stuff.
If you're a special operations major, why would you do suicide terrorism? Like,
that's,
you
know, where
that's what I was thinking too when you guys said the suicide thing. I was like, he has multiple other ways.
Unless it wasn't his body in the car.
We
got the name through Turo and by IDing the Cybertruck, right? So Elon pulls the data of the Cybertruck, sends it to the FBI. FBI goes to Turo, says, who rented this? They say this guy's name. But that doesn't mean that that was the person in the vehicle.
Oh, there's updates since we started the podcast.
Hit me.
Las Vegas officials are saying that he shot himself before the bomb detonated.
Whoa.
Okay. That makes more sense.
There's when we started the podcast, Las Vegas officials going into their conference.
What if it's not political? What if all this symbolism is just to have his name exist?
I'm seeing an image of him in a Ukraine shirt right now too.
But who gets that radical over Ukraine?
Well, Ryan Ruth.
Ryan Ruth has the psychological profile of a crazy person, right? He's like half homeless, running around.
We don't know
sheds.
This guy's psychological profile, really.
I mean, it could be.
But other than the testimony of the people who worked with him, who said he was super good soldier, reliable guy, blah blah blah, blah regular.
Could just be dude. Some sort of statement on. Veteran suicides, too.
Maybe.
Well, without a manifesto,
here's the gun he shot himself with.
Whoa. Crazy.
Huh.
He doesn't necessarily look like the Chad he looks like in some of his other pictures. Yeah. So he might be a little downhill, you know? I don't know.
Could be it.
Wow.
And it could be the real connection is just like the the moment of psychological desperation that a lot of people are finding themselves in right now, right? The time of year, holiday season, wintertime, seasonal depression, all those kind of things.
Yeah. Apparently his right before the explosion, like just before, his photo and safety number on Signal changed. So like people that are connected to him on Signal, you know how you change your like when you get a new device, you have to change your safety number on Signal.
Yeah.
That changed like right before the explosion, apparently, which is also strange. There's just, there's things that we just don't know. Right. Like, well, like at the point, at this point in time, there's just a lot of stuff that's up in the air with it.
Well, we'll have to come back around to it if anything more interesting comes up out of these stories and circle back on it. But that's what we know so far.
Absolutely.
That's what our suspicions are.
Very specifically, I'm just going to say, the exact quote is, he sustained a gunshot wound to the head prior to the detonation of the vehicle.
So it does not specifically mention self-inflicted.
I don't know how it wouldn't be self-inflicted with that, but...
Especially since he's in a bulletproof car.
And we have video of it. It's not like we see someone shoot him and walk out. Right. We have video from both angles.
Well, we have video of moments before the explosion.
Oh, shoot him, have Cybertruck drive him to Trump Tower explosion.
Or just shut the door.
Once you have autonomous vehicles involved, it gets really weird.
That's the thing that we didn't even really talk about, is like there's the autonomous nature. And also... he did autonomous work. his thing was autonomous.
Remote and autonomous.
Yeah, it was like drone stuff.
Yeah. Whoa.
So like, there might be more to it than all that.
Yeah, this is getting deep.
He could still be at large. You know, it could be someone else.
Wow.
Whoa.
It could be like, and this could be the Patsy side of it. If we were to go down a Patsy rabbit hole with it, of like,
maybe he did all the drones in New Jersey.
Maybe his wife is super annoying. He just wanted out of his marriage.
Oh my God.
And so he wanted to fake his own death.
Oh my God.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I would go with that one. In this episode of Dubious Speculation.
Wow. Wasn't there a story about a guy who faked his own death for like 20 years or something like that, and they recently found him?
Oh, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't remember, but sounds plausible. More plausible than a lot of our theories. All right. Before we get any deeper down this really sketchy rabbit hole, we're going to sign off for now, and we're going to do our one of our very infrequent and very special public skiff episodes, where we go through our bingo card selections for what we think is going to happen in 2025. So you can look out for that one on YouTube and everywhere else we publish our podcast. And if you'd like to get access to all the skiff episodes, and there's a lot of great content in there, humanreactionpod.com to learn how to support us. Or if you're on YouTube, you can just click the join button right below this video, and that'll show you how to get access to the members only content. For David Rand, for Kyle Mack, for Bennett on the buttons, I'm Joe Sheehan. This is Human Reaction. Thank you so much for watching. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
that got weird.
That got crazy.
I like when we speculate on things.
I know, me too.